If someone were reading Revelation for the first time, it is understandable. It's very, very difficult. However, after we've read the whole book, sometimes later in the book, it explains what the symbols mean. And sometimes the book of Daniel had already explained what the symbols mean. So, regarding, say, last week, Revelation 12, it talks about a red dragon, and that's like, well, what's this red dragon? But a few verses later, it says that the red dragon is the serpent of old, Satan and the devil. So the Bible itself explains the meaning of a symbol. That would be the case today as we look at Revelation 13. Revelation 13 will teach about a evil end time beast. Well, at first, that's really odd. What is all that about? But Revelation itself will define it. And also, so will the book of Daniel. So we will begin at Revelation 13, but we can expect to look at the definitions of the symbols. And then we will read a little bit of Daniel. Because no doubt many of the early readers were Jewish people and had read the book of Daniel, and they'll say, that sounds like something I've read before. So if you're there, we'll read about the Bible explanation of the end time beast, and we will begin in chapter 13 of Revelation, verses 1 and 2. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then he saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. And on his horns were crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names. Big talking mouth. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his authority. Well, the dragon, as I just mentioned, is defined in Revelation itself as Satan. So the dragon begins here in verse 1, and Satan gives this beast his authority in the end time. And they are watching a sea and the sand, and the sea is full of agitations and turmoil, waves going up and down, and you might think of after a hurricane or a tsunami, and there's all this garbage floating around. It's just wave and flotsam and jetsam is the actual phrase, just floating around. What's all that about? Well, if you'll turn with me to Revelation 17, we'll get a couple of definitions there. The dragon will be Satan. So what is the sea all about? What is it, what is coming out of the sea and the sand? Revelation 17. See, if a person reads on, they get some of the explanations. And we will look at Revelation 17, verse 15. This concerns a different vision, but yet it gives the definition of the waters. Revelation 17:15, he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So the dragon is Satan, and he's coming out of turmoil. Human turmoil. The peoples and the nations and the tongues, the people of the earth, as far as the Apostle John can see them, are just in one big wave back and forth. Just agitation and turmoil. And the actual waters, in verse 15 here, are the world's population. Peoples and nations and multitudes and languages, and they're just all to and fro and all agitated, angry. So that's kind of the definition of the dragon equals Satan, and he will bring a beast out of the turmoil of all of the nations of the world. I almost said United Nations, but he will bring he will bring a leader out of that. And then there was a reference to 10 crowns and 10 horns, and a reference to the number 10. And while we're here in Revelation 17, let's look back a few verses to Revelation 17, verse 12. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, who have not yet received the kingdom, but they shall receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. So, when we read Revelation 13, and we'll go back in a little while, it wasn't quite clear. The dragon equals Satan. He causes a beast to rise out of the sea. But here in chapter 17, the sea are the agitated peoples. And this beast will have the 10 horns. What are those? 10 kings. 10 sub-kings. Well, I didn't make that up. That's what it says. You know, a person's reading through Revelation and they have a few chapters and they don't have it figured out yet, but later on it gives the explanation of the symbols. And I thought it was best to show you rather than just authoritatively tell you. Now, a person reading Revelation 13 that has familiarity with Daniel will say, that sounds very similar. And it does. So if you'll go back with me to Daniel chapter 7, we'll see that Daniel had a similar vision. And it'll be a vision of a beast and that kind of thing. It'll give us lots of definitions. And Daniel 7, we will just look at for a moment, verses 2 and 3. And you can tell me if you were a Jewish person and you read Daniel a lot and you came to Revelation, if it wouldn't sound familiar, Daniel 7, verse 2, and Daniel said, I was looking in my vision at night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. And now, for glance and not take time to read, it's just like Revelation 13, because verse 4 says it's like a lion. Verse 5 says, second one's like a bear. Verse 6 says, the third one's like a leopard. So, Revelation 13 is a lot like a vision back here in Daniel. And Daniel was alive, and his ministry was during the kingdom of Babylon. Later, and we have to shorten up something, otherwise we'd have to do the whole book of Daniel. Later, it will define, in chapter 8, it will define the next two as Babylon, Persia, and Greece. So Daniel sees the kingdoms, and it's Babylon, Persia, and Greece. And then there's this fourth and final beast, a beast again. Let's read Daniel 7:7. And after this, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. There, back to Revelation. A beast, dreadful and terrifying, extremely strong. It had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. It was different from all the beasts before it, and it had 10 horns, which again are 10 kings. And if you'll go with me still in Daniel 7 and kind of look around at verse 23, we'll get some more definitions of this fourth end-time beast. What were they dreaming about when they say a beast? At the Daniel 7:23, and the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom. There's your definition of beast, king and kingdom. The fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth and put it down and crush it. After the 10 horns, out of his kingdom, the 10 kings will arise. And another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones, and will subdue 3 kings, and he's, verse 25, he's got 7 blasphemous mouths, just running all the time. Verse 25, he will speak out against the Most High, and lay down the saints of the highest one. I will intend to make an alterations in times and in the law, and they will be given into his hand for 3.5 years. Time one, times two, half a time. So, Revelation for the first time, that can be kind of difficult, and yet, the dragon is Satan, the beast is the final kingdom, it said that in Daniel, and the 10 horns are 10 sub-kings, and it will arise out of the agitated nations of the world. Daniel's vision is also about the end time. I went around it, but if you'll now go to the middle section and glance at Daniel 7, we will read verse 12 and following. It's clearly an end time prophecy about a final beast, Daniel 7:12. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life is granted them for an appointed time. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. And he came up with the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His kingdom is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. Clearly, this fourth kingdom is about the end of the world. That's its revelation. And the Son of Man will come back, and he will take care of this fourth and final world kingdom, and he will destroy it, and the Ancient of Days will give him an eternal kingdom. You should know that Jesus' favorite self-identification of himself was Son of Man. 14 times in the Gospel of Mark alone, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. And the Jewish people, like the high priest, knew the reference was to Daniel. So when Jesus said, I'm the Son of Man, it meant more than, I'm only human. That's the way liberals take it often. They don't even accept, they never even read the Bible. But Son of Man refers to the end-time ruler. And the high priest knew it at his trial in Mark 14, 61-62. The high priest was questioning him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. You shall see the Son of Man coming at the right hand of power. And Caiaphas, the high priest, right away knew the reference to the Son of Man was Daniel 7. And he ripped his clothes off and said, we don't need any more witnesses. He has already committed blasphemy. What do you think? And they said he was worthy of death. The phrase Son of Man refers to the end-time ruler who will rule the whole world. So, Daniel 7 and Revelation 13 is very much about the future, and the ancient history in Daniel's day was Babylon, number one, Persia, number two, Greece, number four is the Greece of Alexander the Great, by the way. Number four in Daniel's day would be Rome. Now, we wonder whether there will be a revive the Roman Empire, and here's the reason they believe that. If you'll come with me 2 chapters over to Daniel 9, we'll see the basis for a revived Roman Empire with this beast being the leader of it. And we're still in Daniel. We'll get back to Revelation shortly, but Daniel 9:26. Then after the 62 days, the Messiah will be cut off, 62 weeks. The Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood, even to the end will be war. Desolations are determined. The reason a lot of people believe the final end-time beastly kingdom will be based in Rome, Europe, is because the people of the prince to come who destroyed the temple were the Romans. That's the reason for that thought. Here the prediction is the Messiah will come at his first coming and they will kill him. He will be cut off. And then the people of the evil prince who is coming will destroy the temple and the sanctuary. The Romans destroy the temple and the sanctuary. Putting that together, they are the people of the evil prince who is coming. Also, when Daniel saw kingdoms, that would be the historical order in the past. It would be Babylon, then Persia, then Greece, then Rome. So very often it is believed that the final end time empire, this evil that Satan brings out of the agitated world, the sea, will be centered in Rome. Now, that's not part of doctrinal statement, and you don't have to believe it, but that's where it comes from. A final end time kingdom, and Daniel kind of based it on the people of the evil prince who are coming that destroyed the temple. They were the Romans. So that would be sufficient in looking at Daniel's background. Let's go back to Revelation 13 and learn a little bit more about this beast. And we have only done the first two verses. I'll try to move along and get a little bit further. And if we'll go to Revelation 13, we'll now look at verse 3. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain. His fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. Wow. Will the evil end time leader be killed and Satan gives a resurrection? Or will the evil end time ruler have a wound that would have killed everybody else but never dies? Well, I commonly think it might be a satanic resurrection, but I don't know for certain. But one thing that will be for certain as we read on, in the tribulation period that's coming, God will remove the restraint that is now, and there'll be all kinds of black magic. And there'll be all kinds of black magic, inexplicable things, because God will give up in the tribulation. He hasn't given up now, it's the age of grace, but he will renew the restrainer, and God will give up, and there'll be all kinds of miracles. And the point of it is, you wanted to believe the lie, believe the lie. So here, the end time ruler will either die and Satan will cause a resurrection, or else he has a wound that would have killed everybody else, and he doesn't die. And now we have to continue with the story in verse 4 and following. They worship the dragon, Satan, because he gave his authority to the beast. And he worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him? And the answer is nobody. He's the dictator for the last 3.5 years. Verse 5 will repeat 3.5 years. There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his temple, that is, those that dwell in heaven. It was also given him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. And all who dwell on earth will worship him. We'll talk about that in a moment. All the earth dwellers, they are saved, will be saved people, but all the earth dwellers will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been found written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. So the future Antichrist will take over, and the city is the holy city. It does belong to Satan, but it will be trampled by evil for the final 42 months, 1260 days, 42 months, time 1, times 2, dividing of time, 3.5. In the first 3.5 years, there will be nation against nation, and it will not be a world dictator. But in the final 3.5 years, it will be a world dictator. And some will be saved, I'll remember in Revelation chapter 11, there will be the two final great witnesses. The names are not given. They're a good guess because of their older act will be Elijah and Moses. So there will be some saved people. The church will leave at the rapture. We who trust in Jesus as Savior and have made that choice will be gone when the rapture takes place, and the world will begin with all unsaved people. And yet, some will be saved. We call them tribulational saints, and will be the two great witnesses, maybe the 144,000. It doesn't say there will be witnesses, but that would be a good presumption. And there'll be all these people whose relatives were believers, and all these Bibles laying around, and all these empty churches, and they're gone. And so some will trust in Jesus the Savior. So when it says all who dwell on the earth will worship the beast, it's not saying 100% of the people worship the beast, but that's the title of them. They are the earth dwellers. Believers are citizens of heaven, and tribulational saints will be citizens of heaven. So some will be believers, but the earth dwellers, that's God's definition of them. You don't want to be a part of the citizenship of heaven? Philippians 3:20. You want to be a part of the world? Okay, this is the tribulation period. The time of full grace is over with, and he's getting ready to end it. So you want to be an earth dweller, do you? You want to be a part of the world? Well, okay. All the earth dwellers will worship the beast. This evil end time beast will make war on the saints. We have already arrived that some have a seal in their head and will be protected. Now, repeat, it's not known for sure, but the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Tau. And the way it was written in ancient days was a T. These people are safe. We'll get to the mark of the beast in a few verses. I don't know whether it's a visible mark, but God will see them. God will see them. But there'll be war on the saints. Some will be protected. Some who are saved will not be protected. Daniel also preached the same thing. He had the same thing. And students who have read Daniel, when they get to Revelation, it kind of makes sense. Daniel 7:21, I kept looking, and the horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was passed in the favor of the saints, of the highest one. And a time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Hard to put it all in here, but Zechariah 14 is the same way. Jerusalem will be surrounded and attacked, and it says women ravished, which means women will get raped, and right at the end time, God will protect the city. So much, much war on the saints in the final 3.5 years. And the earth dwellers, they worship the beast. They will worship the beast. The names are not in the book of life. That's an interesting research on the book of life. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10:20, don't rejoice that you can do miracles, rejoice that your names are in the book of life. That was more important than any apostolic supernatural power. Revelation 3:5, the names of the overcomers will not be blotted out. And by the way, everybody who is a believer is an overcomer. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Same author, Apostle John. 1 John 5:4. All believers are overcomers in the sense of Satan won't get them. And then these will not be brought out of the book of life, but these who will worship the beast, their names are not in there. One thing about verse 8, is part of the reason we picked one of the songs we did, is the phrase, from the foundation of the world. Now, people disagree, does the foundation of the world go to the lamb slain before the foundation of the world or not in the book of life before the foundation of the world? And you'll find people going both directions. But it is true that Jesus was slain in God's plan before the foundation of the world. It's as though he knew everything that would ever happen. And it's as good as if it had happened, even if it was future. The cross was going to happen. Jesus was going to die. And as we read on, everybody who would ever believe will believe. Those who will never believe will never believe. And God already knows it all. He did not cause the outcome for individual salvation. There's personal responsibility there, but he knows it all. And regarding the Jesus' death, even Peter says that he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. The spotless blood of Christ. That's 1 Peter 1:19 and 20. Now, God has it all planned. He has all of American history planned. He has all the world history planned. We will get to individual salvation and destiny as we read verses 9 and 10, and I will save it until we get to verses 9 and 10. But believe it is based on foreknowledge. Let's go ahead and read that and talk a little bit more about that subject. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with a sword, he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. Well, probably 9 and 10 are talking about lifespan in the tribulation and the possibility of a premature death, and the evil people will die, and God has lifespans. So that's probably the topic here, but related to it is, say, eternal destiny. I do not believe that God chooses eternal destiny without any consideration. I do not believe that before people are born, that some are destined to heaven or some are destined to hell. I do not believe that. I would make room for God's foreknowledge, and he foreknows all who would ever believe. And he foreknows all who will never believe, no matter how much or no matter how many opportunities. So he has a plan. And everybody who would have a potential for faith, God will reach them. And they will be saved because they choose to trust in Jesus the Savior. And he also foreknows those they'll never believe, no matter what. So the actual verses are probably about God has a lifespan, a certain number of days, for everybody in the tribulation, all these wars are going on, but it's also true of eternal destiny. The next few verses are about a second beast. Let's go ahead and read that. Often called the false prophet. So let's go ahead and read verse 11 and following. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He spoke like a dragon. He exercises the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Now, here's what I'd like to stress. Black magic in the end times. He performs great signs that he even lets fire come down from heaven to the earth in the presence of man, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast. Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who had a wound of a sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give birth to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So here is a second beast, often called a false prophet. The Apostle John saw a second beast. He has great ability to do miraculous things, especially powers to kill people. And he will threaten everyone to worship this end-time dictator. It is interesting about end time, black magic, and miracles. I do not know about Old Testament times. the Pharaoh's sorcerers could do some of the plagues. So the sorcerers had some ability to do black magic and miracles. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, now there is a restrainer. I think at least this much is true. God restrains right now lots of deceiving black magic. But if it were allowed, more people would believe evil. How do you think people think about unexplainable things? A lot of them almost have a tendency to go with the magic tricks, the black magic tricks, rather than the Bible. And God is restraining a lot of it now. Here is a warning that He will not restrain it in the tribulation period. I'm kind of watching your time in 2 Thessalonians 2, which I have it right in front of me, but don't have time to read it. But the Antichrist will sit in the temple claiming he is God. The restraining will be removed. Could be the church is gone, or the Holy Spirit through the church is gone. And then it says he will give them strong delusions to believe the lie. So it's not in the church period, but in the tribulation period, grace will be less. You want to believe the lie, so here's all this black magic. You go ahead and believe it. Don't believe the Bible. You want to believe the lie, it was your choice. You chose. That will be the attitude in the tribulation. You chose. So here's some more lies and all those little tricks. Inexplainable tricks. And then the icon, whatever that is, that's the Greek word for image, the icon, I don't know. I don't really know. Hologram, robot, artificial intelligence, somehow it seems to know many places at once. Neither will have the ability to kill. So whatever that will be whenever the year comes, that will be built. Now the Antichrist is a person. He sits in the temple, worship me, but this image or a picture of him or extension of him, that will be worldwide, it will be threatening. And so that's kind of the stick. Now the carrot is, well, if you worship me, you can get everything at the grocery store. Those are our final verses for today. Verse 16 and following. And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For the number is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Well, I'll give you a guess. I don't know everything. Greek. Remember the Greek word for six? Hex. Isn't that weird? Hex. What would 666 be in Greek? Hex. 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 Wow. These people want to worship the Antichrist. And maybe some sort of name, whatever his name will be, but when God looks at it, they'll be done. Hex, hex, hex. And the Antichrist will think he's God. No, you're not. Humans were born, they say, if you're triply human, Satan put you in the place, and Satan will be given authority to do some black magic, and people will believe him, but when they follow him, he's only humans made on day six. And take that image, six, six, six is hex, hex, hex. And when we get to Revelation 14 next time, it will talk about the lake of fire. And really, you know, it is interesting, the warning for the lake of fire is for all times, but especially people that follow the Antichrist. And nobody in our time, there's no Antichrist yet. It's the time of grace. Not in Christ yet. Time to trust Jesus the Savior. But in the future, in the tribulation, take that mark, and the curses in the Bible are strongest against people that will take that mark. Worshiping Satan. Okay, let's pray together.